This past week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, and I didn't really have a chance to give a drasha these last few months, so you'll have to bear with me. I'm very excited to once again give a Shabbos drasha. Happens not to be on Shabbos, now here we are during the week, and that's why I'd like to focus on something that we just read in this past week's Parsha. Parshas Chukas, for those of us who are living in Chutz La'aretz, was a very complicated Parsha. There were many different stories and many different discussions that were had among the Jewish people and Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And among them, we find that in the Torah they have a complaint. The Jewish community has a complaint. The Jewish community has all of their dissatisfaction, all their grievances that they hurl against God himself. And as we know, the Torah says that there is an immediate reaction. There is an immediate response. There is an onesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides he's going to admonish them. He will punish them. And what does he do? So the Torah describes for us that he sends out, God himself sends out a whole slew of lethal, of deadly snakes that start biting the Jewish people, and it was extremely dangerous. And after all of that begins, the Torah then says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Asei lecha saraf, I want you to make a snake. Visim oso visamto oso al hanes, and I want you to put it up on top of the stick. V'haya kala nashuch v'ra'o oso v'chai. Anyone who has been inflicted by this terrible punishment will just look at this snake, and they will then be rehabilitated once again. And I believe what the Torah is trying to convey to us here is the following, and it's relevant to this series that we're going to have. It's relevant to everything that we are all experiencing now. I believe what the Torah means to teach us is, life is filled with complexities, and life has many different obstacles and so many complications. And for each person and for each family, that is going to mean something else. For some family dynamics, that means that there are going to be problematic relationships. For other family dynamics, it means, unfortunately, there's going to be a health issue. For other family units, there's going to be a parnassa issue. Nobody has an easy life. It just doesn't exist. Everybody has complications at some point, and those complications can range in different degrees of severity, but they are all complications, and they all need to be recognized. And what the Torah here tells us is, with all your successes, but more importantly, with all your failures, with all your ups, but more importantly, with all your downs, the most important, the most critical thing that one needs to do is to first, in order to fix those problems and actually deal with them, one first needs to actually confront and face the problem. Moshe Rabbeinu here is the leader of the Jewish people, and he's confronted with a problem. And the Ribono Shel Olam tells him, the first step in dealing with that problem is, put the problem up on a stick. Make sure that it's in everybody's face. Look at it. Don't ignore it. And allow everybody to make sure that we will never neglect, we will never be indifferent to the challenges that we have. Challenges are the way we live life, it's the way we experience it. And the Ribono Shel Olam is teaching us here that the first step to rehabilitation from any challenge that we have is not to ignore it. It's to look at it, stare at it in the face, and only once everybody can focus on it do we then have the opportunity to start thinking about the different ways and the various options that we have to help ourselves and to make sure that we are going to do what we can to better the situation as we see it. So in the last couple of months, as we all know, there were some very complicated, very confusing, and very upsetting times. And once again, this hit many different family units on various and numerous levels. Not everybody suffered from COVID in the same way. So some people were actually sick. Some people actually lost family members. But everybody had a trauma in different ways. Some people lost their jobs. Even if people were blessed not to have any of the above, they still were part of the anxiety, or they had little children that they had to take care of at home with no friends to be with. And they had spouses that were really at wit's end, or they had all kinds of complicated problems that came along over the last few months. And there was a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety and a lot of despair, a lot of panic and hysteria. And we all know that this is what has been going on globally for the past couple of months. And what I find most important to talk about now, as I am not a psychologist, I don't know how to deal with people's anxieties, I don't know how really to address all of their fears and the panic, and I really don't have an opinion on whether the panic and the fear was really appropriate or not. How am I supposed to know? I think we tried to do the appropriate thing. We all tried our best to deal with it as best as we could. And for many, many, perhaps for many who are still on this, we are still continuing to deal with this crisis and still continuing to deal with all of the fallout of it. And I think perhaps one of the things that maybe I might have the ability to work through, and I think I might be equipped to deal with it only because I'm struggling with the same issue, and that is issues of emuna. So a common refrain that I've heard from many over the last couple of months is, they are extremely confused about issues of emuna. And that is a very complicated challenge for us. For anyone who has ever suffered through a real difficulty in life, perhaps you were not hit with the challenge of emuna at this crisis because you've already confronted it before. But for many people, this may have been a very difficult challenge for them. And from what I'm hearing from people who have turned to me, there is a lot of disappointment in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's hard to say such a thing. But let's just be real, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself teaches us. V'samta oso al hanes. Put the issue out in the forefront. Let's not ignore the fact that we struggle with emuna. And if you happen not to be the one who struggles with it, you're a very special person who obviously has a very deep connection and has a deeper understanding than many of us. But I believe this is something that we need to put on the forefront of our discussion and actually tackle head on. We need to really talk about these issues and figure out what really is emuna all about. Compound that with the fact that there was great disappointment because leading up to the holiday of Pesach, as we all know, the world was in a state of quarantine. The world was in a state of uncertainty. Every day seemed to be worse than the day before. And yet there were many people who were pretty convinced that obviously Mashiach has to come over Pesach. After all, we know, Chazal tell us, B'Nisan asidin lehigael. In the month of Nisan, we will be redeemed. So what does that mean? It must be that it's referring to right now, this is an unprecedented challenge. Like somebody told me a few weeks ago, I'm really looking forward to precedented days. And I thought that was a very funny line. Everybody says, this is so unprecedented. I'm looking forward back to just waking up and not having to worry about all of this, and waking up and having my children play with their friends, and being able to just go about certain things. Again, there are many things about the COVID crisis that I appreciated. Being home every night with my children for dinner instead of having to run all over the place was a great gift and a great blessing. Being able to do certain things that I never have the opportunity to do was great. But there are many, many complicated factors in this whole COVID crisis, and I believe that this was a great disappointment when Pesach came and Pesach went, and guess what? Mashiach is still not here. And amidst all of this, I was reminded of an amazing insight of the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech was one of the first, he was one of the earlier Hasidic Rebbes. He wrote, he was Rebbe Elimelech Milozhensk, he was a student of the Mazritcher Magid, who was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. So this is already in the 1700s, in the very early stages of Hasidus. And the Noam Elimelech has a really amazing comment that really struck me over this last period of time that we've all been experiencing. So many of us might be familiar with a term, but if you're not, it really doesn't matter because we will familiarize ourselves with it now. There is something that is referred to in the Gemara as Chevle Mashiach. What does Chevle Mashiach mean? We say it in our Zmiros on Shabbos, Mechevle Mashiach Yutzalu Lirvacha. But what exactly does it mean, Chevle Mashiach? So this really is based on a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadiches. So the Gemara tells us that there's a concept of Chevle Mashiach, which means, based on a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya that describes the way we are going to enter into the time of the coming of Mashiach, the Gemara tells us that it's going to be difficult. It's not going to come easy to us. And there are going to be many painful challenges and many tremendous crises that we are going to have to overcome and that we are going to have to struggle with. Another place where we find this word of chevle, meaning a reference to something that is difficult, is chevle leida. A woman who is going through labor pains is referred to as a woman who is experiencing chevle leida. And in fact, the Navi Yeshaya describes the coming of Mashiach as a woman who is going through labor pains. It is not going to be simple. And we are not going to have the opportunity just to gloss right over all of the challenge in life and assume that Mashiach is just going to come as simply as we might expect. Chevle Mashiach is a real concept. So much so that the Gemara says that there were some great Amoraim, some of the great personalities in the times of the Gemara who said, Yavo HaMashiach Velo Erenu. I hope that Mashiach will come, but I'm not sure that I want to be a part of that experience. Velo erenu, maybe I won't want to be there for that because I know what it will entail. Because I know that leading up to the coming of Mashiach, we are going to have to overcome tremendous struggles and great difficulties. And therefore, Chevle Mashiach is something that the Gemara describes. But the Noam Elimelech points out, although it's true that the Navi Yeshaya tells us that the coming of Mashiach is going to be similar to a woman who gives birth, who is in tremendous pain, who's having great difficulty, but why do we refer to this word as Chevle? If you know Hebrew well, you will understand that the word Chevel is a rope. It's a cord. So why do we refer to this as the cord of Mashiach? And explains the Noam Elimelech so beautifully. In the times of the coming of Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, will suspend. He will dangle a rope down from heaven. And he says that he will take this cable, writes the Noam Elimelech, and he will begin to rattle it. And he will shake all of those who are holding on to that rope. All of those who are connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take that rope and he will begin to shake it and rattle all of those people who are connected to him. And there will be many who will respond by abandoning their connection. They will just let go. They will surrender because it is just too hard to hold on. And there will be very powerful winds, he writes, that will blow us in many different directions. Says the Noam Elimelech, this is what it means, Chevel of Mashiach. In the times of the coming of Mashiach, we will have that cable, we will have that cord, and there will be many winds that will blow it in all different directions. It will perhaps turn the world upside down, if I can put my own words into what he says. It will turn not just one family, not just one individual, not just one community, but the entire world on its head. And the question then becomes, how many people have the strength, have the clarity of mission and purpose to hold on as the Ribono Shel Olam rattles that thread, rattles that cord? And writes the Noam Elimelech, this is really what it means. I have felt over the last couple of months that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rattled all of our lives. And that cord has become something that is very difficult to hold on to. And it is for good reason that many people are falling off. Because it's extremely difficult to explain all of this. It's hard to live in a world where you have no clarity, where you have no understanding, where everything seems to be so beyond what it is that we're supposed to be living normal life as we once knew it, and as we hope to know some of it once again. And I think that this is the Tzav Hasha'ah. This is the obligation, this is the duty of our time. To think about that challenge, to confront it head on, and to talk about what exactly should we be doing? How should we be processing issues of emunah, especially at a time that is so complicated, that is so confusing, and that is so difficult? Let me just add to that as well. The Chafetz Chaim, who passed away in 1933, the Chafetz Chaim was known not only for his amazing sefer, Mishneh Berurah, that is the authoritative sefer on every question of day-to-day life, but on top of that, the Chafetz Chaim popularized the laws of Shmiras HaLashon. On top of that, the Chafetz Chaim contributed so many other important works that we now have as staples in all of our libraries. The Chafetz Chaim was a towering figure. And the Chafetz Chaim was well known to be an individual who thought, but not only thought, an individual who lived in a very serious way with this understanding that Mashiach was actually going to come. And there are so many stories we can tell about this. There are so many different examples of the Chafetz Chaim's letters that he wrote, of the interactions that he had, how he really believed that every day would be the day that Mashiach would really come. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in an essay that he refers to as Tzipisa LiYeshua. Chafetz Chaim wrote about this issue, and he says, Aval chalila v'chalila lanu l'hisyayish al yedei ha'ichur. The Chafetz Chaim wasn't a fool. He knew that this is taking way too long, and he knew that this is something that is a very extensive process, and he knew that people would get frustrated. And the Chafetz Chaim says, Chalila lehisyayish al yedei ha'ichur. Yes, it's a very long process. Yes, this is a protracted narrative. However, writes the Chafetz Chaim, don't we ever take that option of giving up. Especially, he says, when from the outset we know from our prophets, from the Nevi'im, that this is going to be a long story. This is not going to happen from one moment to the next. This is going to be Chevle Mashiach. And therefore, writes the Chafetz Chaim, we say every Shabbos after we finish the Haftorah, we make a bracha. V'davar echad midvarecha lo yashuv reikam. I don't know how many people pay attention to those words, but the Chafetz Chaim points out to us that what it means is that there is not a single word that God ever uttered that will not really be fulfilled. Well, says the Chafetz Chaim, if you believe that not a single word of God, not a single word of any of the Nevi'im, any of the prophets will ever go unheard and will ever go down as something that is really not going to come true, then certainly, says the Chafetz Chaim, something that we find reiterated over and over and over again by so many of the Nevi'im will not go as something that God will not fulfill either. And therefore he says, if so many Nevi'im have described the coming of Mashiach as something that is going to be a long process, then he says, we have to wait and we have to be patient, even though it is something that makes us feel anxiety. It makes us feel uncomfortable. Perhaps it makes us feel disappointed at the times that we felt that Mashiach was supposed to come. But this is all part of our emunah. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, this is something that we have to think about all the time. As he told one of his famous students, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, that the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the miracles in Egypt, ki metzeischa mimitzrayim arenu nifla'os, the Torah says, the Navi says, just as you came out of Egypt, God says, I will show you, li asid lavo, I will show you in the times of the coming of Mashiach, what it means to really be a blessed generation, to experience what the coming of Mashiach is really all about. But the Chafetz Chaim points out that what he believes is going to be the challenge of the final generation, those Chevle Mashiach, the Chafetz Chaim writes something very similar to the Noam Elimelech, and that is, he believes, that the challenge is going to be one that is focused on Inyanei Emunah. And you look around our world, and I almost feel as if the Chafetz Chaim is talking to our generation. Nobody can say with certainty, but look at the challenges of Emunah that so many people are having. Look how much people are suffering and struggling, trying to figure out where is the Ribono Shel Olam in all of this, and what is it that he wants from all of us. We are in a war, says the Chafetz Chaim. It is a war to figure out who is going to hold on to that chevel, who is going to hold on to that string, to that cable, who is going to make sure never to let it go and to always be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have an understanding of what it means to be in a relationship with Him. However, writes the Chafetz Chaim, every time we have a war, it is uncertain to us or to anybody who is going to win. Every so often the underdog is going to be victorious. It's unusual, but it can happen. It's always a possibility. Here, writes the Chafetz Chaim, we are engaged in a battle, but we were told from the outset who is going to win that war. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, quoting a pasuk in the Navi Zechariah, Ve'esruach hatuma avir min ha'aretz. God says from the outset, in the end of days, when we're going to have this war on Inyanei Emunah, when we're going to figure out, is God really the one who we are supposed to all be having a relationship with? God tells us from the outset one thing, and that is that Ruach HaTuma Avir Min HaAretz. God says, I will take away all of the impurities from the land. V'haya Hashem L'melech HaKol HaAretz. So we know from the outset that God is going to win this war. And the question is, do we want to be on the winning team? Or do we want to, unfortunately, let go? And for good reason sometimes. We have challenges that should not be understated. We appreciate that. And everybody needs to contend with all of those challenges. But are we going to allow ourselves to lose that war and be perhaps on the losing team? Or, writes the Chafetz Chaim, are we going to heed the call of Zechariah HaNavi, who told us from the outset that the winner of that battle is going to be none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Rambam, who was such a prolific author, who was such a visionary leader, the Rambam who was such an innovative thinker, everything about the Rambam is just unbelievable. So the Rambam writes something that caught my attention when I first read it, and it's something that is really astounding. I would imagine the Rambam probably gave many public shiurim. The Rambam probably was traveling around, I don't know, but he probably went to inspire many Jews of his generation in many different communities. And yet the Rambam says, there is nothing that I like to speak about more than Ikare Hadas Vaha'emuna. So you can be the Rambam, the most prolific author. You can be a great theologian. You can be a great doctor, like the Rambam was, all of those. And a great philosopher, as he also was. But yet the Rambam says, there is nothing that I appreciate more than teaching people about Ikare Hadas V'Ha'emunah. And the Rambam says that that is what it means when we have an obligation to think about issues of Emunah. And then he writes, B'chal makom she'ucha ledaber me'ikare hadas v'ha'emunah. Anytime I have the ability to speak about issues relating to Emunah, midaber ani mimenu, I choose to talk about such things, ki yakar huli min hakol. Because to me, that is more important, that is more treasured than anything else in the world. That's a powerful statement of the Rambam. But that means that the Rambam spent time talking about these issues, and therefore we should do the same. In the Haftorah of Parshas Devarim, which we're going to read in just a few weeks, that is every year, we read that on Shabbos Chazon. So we read a Haftorah from the Navi Yeshaya. And there the Navi is rebuking the Jewish people, and he's admonishing them. And in the middle he makes a comparison. He contrasts an animal to the Jewish people. Strange. But what he writes is, Yad asher konehu v'chamor avus ba'alav, Yisrael lo yada ami lo hisbonan. What does that mean? So the Navi Yeshaya says, you look at an animal who's out grazing in the field, and intuitively, instinctively, the animal knows where to go to find water. Somehow the animal knows instinctively how to find its owner. And therefore he says, how strange it is, Yisrael lo yada, ami lo hisbonan. How is it possible that the Jewish people don't instinctively, don't intuitively know how to find their source of water, how to find their creator? So I would say that that is a very tall order. I would say that that is a very great expectation that the Navi has of all of us, that we are all instinctively created to be a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that that is our lifeline, that that is our source of water. That's the way the Navi describes us. And therefore he says it's so strange that an animal somehow intuitively knows automatically where to go, and we cannot figure it out, and we are confused, and we are in this daze. So you ask yourself, if that's really the way we were all created, how can it be that so many of us find this to be such a complicated challenge? Why is it that Emunah does not come naturally to many of us? To some people it does. Rav Asher Weiss once told me, and maybe we'll speak about this in future weeks, you know, there were many who said we should just believe in Emunah Pshuta. Just believe. Don't talk about it. Don't ask any questions. I know that the style in many yeshivas, many girls' schools used to be, don't ask, don't tell, we're not going to say these issues. And if a child had a question, legitimately, he was shut down right away. They called him an apikoros. We don't talk about these things. Emunah Pshuta. Rav Asher Weiss once told me a very informative comment, and that was, Emunah Pshuta might have worked when life was pashut. But today we don't live in a pashut world. We live in a very complicated world. And it's extremely complex. And it's complex in every other level, in every other realm. So therefore, perhaps, Emunah Pshuta is not the answer today. Today, when everything about our lives is complicated, when everything is multifaceted, then our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is going to be complicated, also needs to be explored, also needs to be considered. Emunah Pshuta might not be the answer for everybody, and that's why we need to have these conversations. Well, why is it that we find it so difficult? Why is it that maybe it doesn't come naturally or instinctively to any of us? And with this, I'm going to close. I want to be respectful of everybody's time. I see it's 7:59, but we have another 5 weeks to go. So if you don't want to join us next week, you're welcome not to join. But if you do want to join us, we'll continue. And I was reminded, just to close with this, I was reminded of a comment that I once read by Rav Soloveitchik. I didn't have a chance to find it again today in the original source, but I remember that he writes the following. In one of his English essays, he says, We say in Hallel, and it's a quote from Tehillim, Ani amarti b'chavzi kal ha'adam kozev. It says that David HaMelech says, I believe, and I say, that every man is a liar. Kal ha'adam kozev. Kozev means a person who doesn't tell the truth. So what does that mean, asked Rav Soloveitchik? We don't go about our lives believing that everybody that we interact with is telling us a lie. We do not believe that everybody is immoral in the world. We don't believe that every person that we interact with is a charlatan. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to have a society if that's really what we felt. So what does David HaMelech mean? Kal ha'adam kozev. Every man is a liar. How can that be? So Rav Soloveitchik explains so beautifully. We're told when Adam HaRishon is created, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, Afar min ha'adama. We are told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. Afar min ha'adama means he took dirt from the land, and from that he somehow created man. He created Adam HaRishon. And the Medrash has two conflicting comments. What does it mean? Afar min ha'adama. You know that very often in the Hebrew language, there's what we refer to as the hey ha'yidia, the special hey, which means when the Torah describes something as min ha'adama, it means the special land. Now, what special land are we referring to? Asked the Medrash. What does that mean that God took afar min ha'adama? What is this very special blessed land that God chose to take the dirt from in order to create man? And explains Rav Soloveitchik, based on this Medrash, the Medrash gives two options of how to understand that. Ha'adama means that God took from the entire Adamama, from Arba Kanfos Ha'aretz, God went to the entirety of the world, to the whole cosmos, and He collected dirt from all the different places, all the different locations, and with that, collectively, He created Adam HaRishon. Second interpretation of the Medrash is that God took Afar Min Ha'adama. What does it mean, the chosen land? He took it from the place that we refer to as Mizbach Adama Tasali. God took it from the holiest place in the world, which is the Makom HaMizbeach, the place where the altar one day would stand, where the Beis HaMikdash would be built. That is the chosen, the cherished Adama that God chose to take the Afar from to create Adam HaRishon. Well, says Rav Soloveitchik, when you put those two Midrashim together, those two suggestions, it means that on the one hand, every human being is of cosmic proportion. Every human being is curious, is universal, because God put inside of all of us a piece of the entire world, but at the same time, we are conflicted. Kala Adam Kozev does not mean all of us are liars. It doesn't mean we are immoral. It means that we are living a conflicted life. We have a duality to us. We have complication. Why? Because on the one hand, we are created afar min ha'adama. On the one hand, we were created from the place of godliness, from the place of holiness, which is the makom ha'migdash, the place of the mizbeach, the holiest ground that connects us to God. While on the other hand, God also put a piece of us which is universal, which is the entire cosmos, which is curious, which always wants to explore, which always wants to be involved, which is never satisfied with what it has. And therefore, it is just the makeup of humanity that is complex. And says Rav Soloveitchik, that's what it means, Kal ha'adam kozev. We are complex human beings. We are not one-dimensional. We have so many different facets to us. And because of that, sometimes it doesn't come intuitively. It doesn't come as naturally to us, our sense of understanding and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, the Navi Yeshaya writes, it should be instinctive and it should be intuitive. Yad asher koneo v'chamor avos ba'alav. When an animal is grazing in the field, it somehow intuitively knows where to find the water. It somehow instinctively knows how to find its owner. But at the same time, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, as much as that is the way it's supposed to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Himself, created us in a very complex way. And we are multidimensional. We are multifaceted. And because of that, sometimes we are torn in different directions. To hold on to that chevlo shel Mashiach, like the Noam Elimelech writes, that is our charge. That is our obligation. That is what is expected of us. Not that it's simple. It's an extremely complicated, difficult challenge, as we all know, and it's become only increasingly difficult throughout this crisis. But that is exactly what God tells us in last week's Parsha, Parsha Chukas. We have to take the issue at hand and stare it in the face. We cannot neglect it. We cannot pretend like it doesn't exist. We have to take it, put it on the staff, hold it up in front of all of us, and now, together, we will have the ability to deal with that issue and to break it down and figure out how it is that we can better understand how to overcome the issue that we might be facing. So, Emir Hashem, God willing, next week, we will continue.